Welcome to the Creating Eden podcast. I am your host, Eden Elizabeth. This podcast is a space of storytelling, truth-telling, raw and honest expression. Vulnerability is not only welcomed here, but it is celebrated. In this space, we honor the messy, the real, the authentic, the too much, and everything else that makes us human. Here, you get to witness real-time emotional and energetic processes that give you a peek into my own personal practice and the work that I do with my one-to-one private mentorship clients. Thank you for being here, for witnessing, and receiving. Okay, hello, everybody. I am so excited to be sitting here with Brody, a woman who was in the first round of Holy Body. And I've asked her to come here today to share her lived embodied experience of being in the container of Holy Body so that you can hear her story. You can hear how this work has impacted her, has held her, has initiated her into newer, bigger, bolder expressions of herself and her soul. Yeah, I think it's going to be really powerful. And I just want to say a quick thank you, Brody, for saying yes to this. I had a vision of you being on here with me. And I was like, ooh, yes, this will be so good. Okay. And just immediately messaged you. And I was so stoked to, receive your immediate full yes. So, I guess let's start with what initially called you to Holy Body. What was the thing that you saw that activated something within you or lit you up or made you really curious, that curious enough or activated enough for you to say, this is for me, I'm in?
It's so funny that you say that, because today I was just as reflecting on how I kind of started into Holy Body, and I still work in a blue collar job, and how it started was I had stumbled upon your Instagram page one day while I was just doom scrolling in a hotel room working on the road. And I felt like so disconnected because everybody wanted to go to the bar. And I was like, this isn't for me. I felt called to just do something different, but I didn't know what that was. And then I found your Instagram page and you were so bold. It was actually the story of you free birthing. And I was like, this chick is wild. So in that moment, I was like, I want to be that wild. Like, I knew I wanted to be that wild, but I was so far from accepting, like, my fears to express that wildness or to be, like, to hold that discomfort, that devotion that you had, but I knew I wanted it. So here I was in a hotel room, doom scrolling, like, you know, how do I start this journey? Like, how do I become myself, but like embody the same things that you're embodying? Like, I didn't want to be you, I wanted to be myself, but you were giving me permission to be that version of myself that I didn't know yet what it was, but was dreaming of it. So then Holy Body came and I was like, yes, 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 because it was just like an invitation to be held and not be alone, like have other women that were also going through their own things in life and feeling called to work on themselves in similar ways. So it was a beautiful way for me to open doors that were never there before. Like, I was self-sabotaging and avoiding. And for the first time, I felt like I could sit there and not just face myself, but allow this dream version of myself that I wanted to be, this version of you I saw yourself embodying, to actually come to life.
Yeah, that's so, I don't know why I feel like it's funny that you stumbled upon my free birth story and that was what activated you. But I love that because that is, well, like the work that is within Holy Body that it took me to get to that point, like, was years ago, but that was really my initiation into offering this work. And like really stepping into that boldness myself, because when I first found out I was pregnant and I wanted to do a wild pregnancy and free birth, I was like, oh my God, I can't, I'm not allowed to do that. I can't do that. Even though it was like 2 years prior, that was the biggest dream that I had written down. You know, so I love that that's where you found me. And I also really love that you just spoke to this group, it being a group setting and watching other women and being with other women who are on their growth path, because that is such a powerful part of it too. And I wrote a post about this today that when women, like you just said, show up authentically, expressing themselves in their power, being bold and real and raw, it is that invitation, that permission, yes, but more invitation and activation. Because what you felt witnessing me in that was what's already inside of you that's just waiting to be unlocked and unleashed. And like having somebody, say, whether explicitly or just through their actions, like, hey, look at me. You're allowed to do this too. Like, all of those cells that are like, oh my gosh, we are like, yes, become alive, right? And yeah, so I love that you spoke to the group aspect, because that is such a powerful part of it too, is witnessing each other and being witnessed, right? So I'm curious what it was like for you, because you're in this world of a blue collar job, of people wanting to go to the bar, and you're like, I want to sit at my altar and connect with my womb and hold my body and do these things that like nobody around me is doing. I'm curious what your experience was being held in that space with other women, because you might not necessarily have that in your day-to-day life.
It was fantastic because I kind of felt like I was just losing my mind a bit because I was putting all this pressure and judgment on how I should be expressing myself and expanding my pain threshold and experiencing these like emotional thoughts, patterns, and nervous system responses. And throughout the week, I'd be going to my job, which wasn't a 9 to 5, it was like 16 hours, and it could be like anywhere from like 6 a.m., 5 a.m. driving, like hours to hours, etc. But I would be working in this job where I was getting so overwhelmed and being physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and then coming home after learning about all these great things in this course, like in this mentorship, and then being like, okay, I need to shake my body out. I need to scream in traffic. I need to like do whatever it is that supports my nervous system. Well, I knew all my blue collar friends were, at the bar having a good time or, spending their night frolicking. And here I was like, being very spiritual or trying to find my authenticity and spirituality. And then once a week, I would get to hang out with these girls, talk to these women that were like, I hear you and I see you. And I was like, okay, I don't feel crazy for coming home after work. And instead of going out with everybody else, choosing myself and sitting here and lighting candles, journaling, like doing whatever supports my nervous system and allowing that expression to expand. Because, like, since the our 8 weeks have been over, I've been just expanding and expanding and expanding. Like more things come and more things go. And even though the women's aspect there of sharing isn't there, Seasoned Wisdom, my Instagram page was born because I felt like that connection we had together as women was so potent. Like hearing each other and having a space to be held, especially when in the blue collar world, nobody cares about what your feelings are, what you did on the weekend. Like, nobody really wants to know that you yoni steamed for a few hours and was speaking to your vagina. Like, the guys at work already don't want to talk about your period. So, to be like, excuse me, I actually call it my bleed, they're like, sorry, what? And then here I am, like, no, but intuitive language. Like, I'm integrating myself and who I want to be. And even though it sounds crazy, I'm crazy. I'm wild. I'm bold. I'm going to allow that domesticated version of myself that used to exist to be feral now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I'm like muting myself because I don't know what's happening in the living room. I don't know if you can hear my daughter at all or not. So I'm just muting myself when you're talking, but oh my gosh, I just laughed so loud because how true is that? And you're not the only one that's having these experiences of living in these realities where nobody is doing this stuff. Nobody is talking like this. And to be in that space and be held and received and like really fully understood. Like, I got chills when you were speaking about, you got to come every week and sit with these women, because I was just remembering the energy and like crying, being vulnerable with each other, like really deeply resonating with each other. Like it reminds us that other realities exist and that we're not alone in this, because I feel like, let's say waking up to yourself, your spirituality, your embodiment practices when nobody else around you is, can feel really defeating, or like you have to stay in the spiritual closet, like hide your practices from people, but by being in these spaces with other women and exploring these realms and exploring these pieces of ourselves and letting ourselves be seen in that will also allow us to grow, so that we can start expressing, as you said, oh, I actually call it my bleed, like starting to express that in these worlds and realities where it's not the norm. And then it starts to ripple out into your lived reality. In a few years' time, I'm sure you're going to be surrounded by so many women who call it their bleed, who yoni steam, who scream in traffic and have somatic releases, because you'll start to magnetize that energy to you by putting that energy out. So you had a pretty big transformation within the eight. I mean, we all did, but I just really remember your share. And of course, you don't have to share anything that you don't want to share, that you want to hold sacred and tight to your chest, but you had a pretty big transformation, like a big, almost like lit. How am I trying to say this? Just initiation in life that you got to choose. Who do I want to be? Do I want to be this woman that I'm walking towards, or do I want to be the same as I've been in the past? So what would you say your biggest transformation, if it's what I'm remembering, within the 8 weeks? I would love to hear that. And then I would also love to hear how, since the 8 weeks are over, how things have unfolded or continued to unfold for you.
So, I feel like the biggest thing that I took from it, but it was that it was actually an initiation into maidenhood and being held with a bunch of other women. Because I didn't grow up with very many women that knew all this. Like, my mom was 16 when she had me, and when I learned about what being a maiden was, like, I then came to understand that she never even got to experience that. So there was all these things that I was hoping my whole life somebody would teach me, and I never had that. And I went to therapy and I was sad about it, but being a part of this group held me in a way that was like, we're all women. And I felt for the first time like I could be a woman. And allowing that part of me to unfold was so beautiful, but so painful at the same time, because there's layers of my womb and having been sexually assaulted that I had to open up to be able to confront those discomforts and fears and be able to live with myself more authentically, like just to not run away from the parts of myself that I was shutting down and that I was trying to fight and flight from. But I'm totally fine with sharing anything from the journey itself. So is there something in particular that like you want me to like or want to prompt or ask me about it? Because I know that there's a lot of things that I shared from those 8 weeks in particular, but just in general, the maidenhood, like I felt it was an initiation for me, especially turning 25 now, that I was like, wow, I was really held by a bunch of women, and like it felt like for me a space where I could finally say who I wanted to be and who I felt I always was without any judgment.
Wow, that's not at all what I was prompting, like what I was remembering, and just the fact that you brought that in is so beautiful. Because when I, was initiated into mother, I was like, oh my God, did I live my maidenhood right? Like, was I present enough? Did I dance enough? Did I cry enough? Did I like be selfish enough? Like, oh my gosh. And so to hear you say you feel initiated into your maidenhood. Oh, just feels so powerful and something that I had no idea. So thank you so much for sharing that, Brody. That's really incredible. And it feels like such an honor to hear the impact of that. And yeah, I was kind of curious if you feel comfortable sharing about your job, the like bold way that you stepped into leadership a little bit more, and how that was reflected and you were seen in that.
Absolutely, because this is actually something now that I've been able to make more connections in my job with people that are more aligned with my values. So I feel a lot less guilty than I did at first when I was starting all this. Because in the beginning, I felt alone. I felt like I was signing up to initiate myself into being who I was, but everybody at work knew me as somebody that wasn't me. I wasn't showing up as my authentic self. I was people pleasing. I was honestly putting myself in a box to fit in with how I felt everybody should view me as. And it's interesting because in the beginning, people would call me things like safety narc and stuff like that. And I used to take that to heart because, like, it was like, oh, if they call me, like, I'm by the book and I'm always the person who's out to get them because I'm by the rules. But honestly, it was all about creating a fair environment for everybody. And like when I started to realize my core values in Holy Body and started to realize that within myself I wasn't living in an alignment and I was acting out of alignment, that I was just constantly fawning and not really being there for myself, that I wasn't supporting myself, that like being stressed half the time was actually because I was not showing up the way I wanted to, but acting in a way I thought I had to. And in the blue collar world, it's kind of hard when you're a woman too. I'm going to give myself that because I showed up every day young, enthusiastic, but like in a position sometimes where I had to be in charge of people that were 3 times my age. So it's very difficult. And I took a stance during Holy Body and at work to not only be more spiritual, but to be in line with my core values, which was integrity and honesty and authenticity and community. And so that meant that I would stand up and I would step on people's toes. And sometimes it meant that I had to have hard conversations while staying professional, but also staying in line with me, like myself. I lost a lot of friends because I wanted to choose being the person that stood up for others and holding the company and ourselves accountable, instead of being the person that would spread rumors or would turn a blind eye to how my coworkers were being treated. And at the time, I was like, my heart was palpitating because while I knew I was boldly setting boundaries and setting a firm stance, and I was excited for myself because in the construction industry and in the safety industry, and being young and already being called a safety narc, standing up and saying, you know what, I am a safety narc and I'm here for us both. Like, that was so bold. And then to be rewarded with getting a position of leadership and being asked if I wanted to be a part of the Joint Occupational Health and Safety Committee, like, that was great because now that I'm certified and I've learned what that role is, like, my job is to be a person who listens and validates other people's emotions, concerns, and feelings at job, like at the job and at on a job site or at work. And I'm somebody people can feel safe coming to because I'm always going to advocate for them. So even though the construction industry is not the job that I want to have for the rest of my life, and it's not necessarily like my end goal, it's where I'm at right now, and I had to make do with what I had. And this course was teaching me that, while I was working 16 hours and I wasn't just going to up and quit my job, I had to find a way to integrate all these things to make myself feel at home with myself and okay enough in the workforce. But that also taught me to understand other people. Like, everybody's going through something. So I'm working with different people all the time, and we're a family out there. So every time somebody's working with me, I make sure that we feel comfortable before we go out on the road and we're doing things safely, not only because I'm a safety narc, but because I want to get home safely. I want you to get home safely. And because I care, at the end of the day, I have integrity and honesty, and I will do my job. I'll do my job to the safest that I can. I'll do my job like softly and honestly. And the way I am, I'm not going to be rigid and rushing and choosing to do it the way that everybody else did it old school. If I'm new school and I test your standards and I test your system and your limits, then it's because it needs to be fair for everybody. And in all honesty, I use the rule book to a T because there are a lot of things that if you know the rules, you can like negotiate how to get your way. So knowing the rules makes it perfect for me to be able to no negotiate on behalf of others. So while they're upset that I'm a safety narc, I'm still the person they come to when they have to have complaints fixed and I have to advocate on their behalf. And I do. I am very neutral in that sense. So it was great to stand up. It was great to not be scared, to have my voice heard, to not step on people's toes. And like, there were so many times where I had to advocate for better standards. And because I advocated for better standards, I was given a position in the Joint Occupational Health and Safety Committee. And a lot of the people that I worked with when that job was over with after I had to advocate for safety standards had sent me messages about how they not only felt supported, but they felt like I treated them like a family. Like they showed up and we laughed, we had a great time before and after work, and then I took care of them, which to me makes me feel like I've already taken a whole other step. Because like I said before, it was, borderline HR harassment conversations, like a boys' room talk while we're at a tailgate. And now it's like I ask everybody how their day is, and we're actually talking about how our day's been and how our week's been. And I'm getting to know my coworkers, and they know they can trust me. Like they know they don't have to show up as anybody else other than who they are, because I don't care about the fake shit. Like you can tell me that you and like you can tell me whatever the heck is going on. I'm here for you. And I love that because no matter where I go now, I know that I can stand up for myself, firm on my boundaries, and I can be there for my coworkers, be there for myself, like hold space for both, and know when I don't have the capability to do that either, when I have to take a step back and understand that I've got to be there for myself first, which was so important in knowing when I needed to do that before I could stand up for others.
I think it's so powerful that, when you start doing this work, you're not the only person who benefits, right? Like everyone around you is going to start benefiting from this. And you said it many times, like I stood up for myself and I stood up for other people. And so even those people that were saying, calling you a safety narc and all of these things, like you were fighting for them too, Yeah, I just think that that's so powerful and admirable, and I just remember really celebrating you in that experience when it was really alive and happening that week. And yeah, it's just a like ripple effect of that work, of your decision, right? Because you had a decision in that moment. You had a decision. Even though you said your heart was racing and like you were scared, you had a decision. Do I act in integrity because that is something I highly value? Or do I people please and stay in my fawn response, which I now know I do, right? So, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Holy Body, in the pathway we walk, the first 2 weeks we learn about our nervous system and building resilience and capacity to sit in discomfort, right? So to sit in that experience of, oh my God, this isn't right. I'm gonna have to say something or people please here. Like to actually be able to sit in that experience without immediately going to that fawn response like you would have in the past. And then in week 4, we start to activate our throats, our self-expression, which starts actually with getting really clear on our core values. And it's funny that this was a really powerful piece for a lot of you. And it was something I almost omitted from the course. I was like, is this enough? Like, is this powerful enough? Like, does this even need to be in here? Like, is this too simple? Should I just get rid of it? And I almost got rid of it. And then it was such a key, powerful point for many of you. and like completely changed, like, oh my God, my whole or parts of my life are so misaligned with my core values. And I shared that that's exactly how it was for me when I found out my core values for the first time. I was like, why does nothing in my life add up? And none of my core values are being reflected back to me, but it's like, okay, now you at that point you had the awareness of your nervous system, period, and of your patterning in your nervous system. So you knew, okay, I can either continue with the pattern, but then you also had that awareness of your values, and that gave you a choice, right? And choice is one of the most powerful things that we have. So do you remember being in that choice, being in that like moment of my heart is racing, but I'm going to act as the Brody I want to be, not the Brody I have been? Do you remember that moment?
I do. And it was also at the exact time that me and my girlfriend had pretty much broken up with each other. So I was also experiencing outside of work that exact same feeling. So it was just heightened all around. And I could feel myself wanting to run, but I knew that if I was bold enough to at least say, okay, like you always say, do it. And regulate after. So somewhere around those lines. So I would that's what I would tell myself is do it and regulate after, like be in the messy. So the messy was I'm here, my heart is palpitating, I'm making the choice, I'm setting the boundary. And I'm also acknowledging that I might not yet be ready for what's to come after this. So like work giving me a hard time and me having to go against them and make proposals and be professional and go about situations. And like having conscious conflict, communicating in a professional way and still holding true to my values. And then also being with my girlfriend, her and I having conscious conflict, setting boundaries and not having my boundaries received well, and being like, well, shit, I had interpreted these situations hoping for the best, not knowing what was to come. And of course, like life has its lessons. Both situations offered me a chance to realize that, okay, things don't always go the way that you want them, and they're not always going to go perfectly. Not everybody's going to have the space to hold you, and people at work may not understand. There's going to be times where you will be in conscious conflict. And it wasn't until I had the core values that I understood how to stand in conscious conflict, because it was then that I was like, okay, I know that I feel this way, but I also know that I want to be in alignment with my true core values. Like, which is to be honest, to be authentic, to communicate. So if that means that I had to take a step back and assess the situation, that's what I did. So it's interesting because there in those moments, it would have been so much easier to give in. Like I felt like turning back and self-sabotaging, avoiding, or just being like, I'm done. That was really hard. And I tried. And I think I tried was enough. But I also felt this inner voice, which I was able to learn to listen to with Holy Body, that was like, okay, it was hard. You try, like, give yourself compassion. You tried your best. You showed up. And this isn't the end. So your friend is triggered because you set boundaries. Okay, so work is asking you to prove your points to make sure that you know what you're talking about. Like, there are things that I then in that moment was like, okay, this is another layer. How do I hold myself here? How do I navigate this? And then again, with conscious conflict, another layer of conscious conflict, which then came conscious language for me. So, learning how to be like, hey, these are my core values. Now, how do I actually express that? Like, how do I actually show up as that? So, when my friend did not receive me setting boundaries the way I anticipated and was triggered and reacted in negative ways, I gave us space because I could recognize that her nervous system was in a shutdown response or in some kind of response. And I could at least appreciate and give her space to work on that and actually tell her that I was doing that so that I could set firm boundaries. And when I came back to that situation, I was again hoping for the best. I was like, I wonder if I apologize for having come at it from a triggered mindset. Because I will admit that when I was trying to set boundaries, I was really good up until she didn't take it very well. And then I was like, well, shit. And then it got kind of petty. And I felt really bad because I actually did not want to act petty. I did not want to be upset at her for not receiving my boundaries. I wanted her to be okay with like receiving my boundaries because it didn't. I then started to act out of alignment, which spiraled. So I knew we needed some space. But coming back to that and apologizing and saying, like, listen, like, I actually love you and I care about you so much. And like, how I treated you was out of a space where I was triggered and unable to hold space for myself just yet. I was still learning how to hold that space and how to learn the conscious conflict, the conscious language with you. And so then I tried to have that conversation again, and I really hoped that it would go smoothly. And in a perfect world situation, someday down the road when I do have more aligned friendships, it's in my mind, I think it's possible that the other person is supposed to perceive you maturely, and if they get triggered, they are able to talk about their triggers so that you guys can have a mature conversation about it. Like, I was kind of triggered because I was hoping that while I was growing and working through all these things, that my friends would be growing and working through things too, and they would be able to actually hold themselves in victim states of mind or in conscious conflict or whatever was going on in their lives, that we could still talk about it. But I had a really hard time navigating when my friends weren't in the same mindset as me anymore or in the same on the same path. Like, I felt like I was outgrowing some of my friendships because I was showing up willing to take accountability and to take responsibility and to apologize. And those are things that a lot of people, or at least I found in some of my friendships that I chose to be in, weren't able to show up and meet me at and weren't able to do. And that was really difficult because I guess I thought that if I was truly spiritual, I'd be able to fix anything, that you'd be able to mend these wounded hearts and that, like, don't worry, girlfriend, like, we broke up with each other, but we'll get back together. Like, we didn't really mean it. But sometimes, like, that's just not the case. Like, sometimes pain takes time to heal, and everybody has to get there at their own pace. Like, as much as I want my girlfriend to be there with me, as much as I want to take her hand and heal her with her, like, and be there so that she can be here with me, that's not my place in her story. And I'm okay with that now. It sucks because I wish she was here with me now, like listening in this conversation and being like, I hear you, I see you. But it doesn't mean that someday she won't be. And it doesn't mean that someday she has to be. Like, my reality can be separate now. Like, I was so codependent in my wounded feminine with my friendship, being like, we both came from the same wounded place and we're growing together now. And then when we grew apart, I felt like all of a sudden that my growth and my journey was alone. And then I felt like, oh no, it couldn't be alone. It had to be with other women holding my hand, like side by side. And I think it was through at Holy Body actually that I realized I am doing that. Even if I don't have the same friends still here, you know, having conversations. I know that was a lot, but like, but it's the first time I've actually like spoken about how that resonated with me and like how that shaped me during those 8 weeks, because I was really quiet. I was like, yeah, me and my girlfriend are breaking up, and I just processed it. I cried a lot.
Oh my gosh. You spoke to my soul. You spoke to my soul there because I am in, have been walking that exact same experience of, you know, not being met in this new version, right? When we grow and we show up as these new versions of ourselves and not being met in that, sometimes it can feel like, oh my God, like, is something wrong? Right. And our brains are like, we need to fix it. We need to figure it out. And oh my gosh, you are so not alone in that experience of like, I want to heal her. Let me help her. I could help her. And just how powerful it is for you to acknowledge, like, that's not my place in her story. That resonates with me so deeply with this friendship heartbreak that I've been walking too. And I know we're not alone in that. And it's like, we were walking around with these glasses on, and then finally we took them off and we could see so much more clearly. And we're like, yo, just take your glasses off. Like, you're still wearing the glasses. Please just take them off. Trust me. It's so much better when you're not wearing them. Like, take them off. And they're like, no, fighting you. But I've lived my whole life with these glasses. These glasses help me. And it's like, oh, we can't actually force someone to take the glasses off. We have to let them do it themselves. And that can be really, really hard to witness. Knowing we have the tools, or knowing we could support, and just having to take our hands off the wheel and be like, okay, I accept this, and it hurts and it sucks, and I accept this. But something that you said that I really wanted to emphasize is, I don't remember exactly the words that you said, but just the fact that, oh, you said it was easier to stay stuck in your past patterns, to self-sabotage, to do the things, like, so much easier than actually showing up and doing this work, because the patterns, they're not, like, straight up, they're not easy. They don't feel good, but we know them and we know we can survive them. So we're like, okay, I'll show up in this way. I know it works. It's not ideal, but I'm gonna stay here because it feels quote unquote safe. Yeah, you just spoke to the fact that, like, this is not easy, right? It's not easy. It could be really simple. Option A, complete same pattern again. Option B, choose new route. I know what I need to do to choose new route, but I don't know how people are gonna react. I don't know how people are gonna respond. And you spoke to this, like, and then I would uncover a new layer and be like, can I hold myself here? And I think that is it. That is this work where we are, it's not that we trust that the world around us isn't going to push back or challenge us, or, it's not that we're like, oh, because I'm growing and healing and expanding, everything around me is going to love it and respond well, and everyone's coming with me. It's building the trust within yourself to hold yourself in each new layer. And so I just love that you spoke that piece, because that's really what this is. That's really the work here, is building that trust that you will come back to your body, that you will listen to what she's telling you, that you won't wait until your womb is screaming at you to listen to what she has to say, to tell you, hey, this person is a not aligned person, or we really need to slow down, or whatever it is, like, to build that self-trust that you will listen to your body, that you will align with your values, that you will not abandon yourself. So many of us are wandering around this world with abandonment wounds, and so much of that could be healed if we stopped abandoning ourselves. So, yeah, I love that piece. And yeah, I'm open to anything you have to say from there.
Well, it's interesting because, like, just the thoughts that come to mind, I'm thinking about how I came to understand my bleed. Like, that was even initiations. Like, after seeing your free birthing video, the next thing I saw was you putting blood on your face and your body. And I was like, bold. I love it. So at that point, I had an IUD in. And like I had been assaulted at 18 years old, and I quickly got an IUD put in because I was very scared about ever having something like that happen again. But also, it was so much more than that. It was that seeing the blood actually reminded me of the trauma. And instead of having a woman there to sit with me and to honestly say that too, because I think if I were to say, like, seeing my period, like seeing my bleed reminds me of this traumatic thing that just happened to me. Like, I want to get past this, but like I need to be able to say this, like how I feel, what's going on, like what's happening. Maybe I wouldn't have run to my doctor and been like, let's get an IUD shoved in there so that I never have to bleed again because I don't want to have to deal with this ever. And like doing that, it sucked because I blamed myself for why I was dysregulated, why nothing made sense, why I couldn't feel like I was in alignment with myself. And then I seen your content and had the brave decision to be like, I'm gonna get that thing taken out. Where like a week prior, that thought would have never crossed my mind. I was sold on like, I'm gonna be on birth control for the rest of my life. Like that's just what you're supposed to do. And so this initiation into allowing yourself to be whoever you want to be and expressing, like, what I really want to say is like thinking for the first time that my blood had knowledge, wisdom, and potency was like, whoa, wait, what? Like, I've been blocking this flow. I've been silencing my voice. I've been dysregulating my body. And by taking that step to get it taken out, yeah, everything came flooding back. But I consciously, in every moment when it came flooding back, stood there and held that pain, like saw my blood. And for that first week, yeah, I cried profusely when I seen it come back because there were so many memories that came rushing in. There were so many versions of myself, like a fucking emotional onion, like you cut it in half and you're peeling it layer by layer and crying. And that is how I felt. But it was also so beautiful because for years, I never discussed any of those things. I never shared any of those ways that it had affected me as a woman. I never had a connection with my womb at all. And through having a connection with it, through being able to take a week out of my month every month and actually fully rest and listen to my body is actually another part of where this inner voice has come from in Holy Body, getting to hear my truth, what my core values come from. And a lot of it is forgiveness. Like there are so many parts of me, especially my teenage self, that is angry that she didn't have a mother to hold her hand through a lot of the pain that she had. And is angry and resentful that she felt like nobody knew her pain, that she had to be ashamed and silence herself. And that's a hard space. Like, it's interesting though, because I would give myself this container of what would I say to that woman? What would I say to the 18-year-old version of me that is wondering how she's going to go to a courtroom for the first time by herself because she wants to charge this mofo? Like I sit back and I go like, how, what would I have said to her? And like other layers of when I was a child and during certain childhood traumas and thinking, okay, what did that version of me need to hear or to have? And a lot of that is when I'm on my bleed, is sitting there and meditating and, you know, giving myself that time to shed all of these layers of pain, of trauma, of the resentment, of the anger, of all of that. Like this whole season for winter has been me walking into the like the truth week four, but also into womb portal because it is my truth is in my blood. You're like, yes,
Oh my God, I'm like
it is, yes,
snapping chills.
figure.
That was a mic drop moment. Oh my God, Brody.
Like, I
The
cannot wait
truth
for
is
my
in my
bleed to
blood.
come in the next couple of weeks and then to start writing my affirmations on the mirrors in them because that was my ritual. And I've started creating what's called a bleed box. So there's a set of candles from light or from dark to light, light to dark, depending on like what my cycle is, what's happening that day. So I can actually keep track of it through the candle colors, but also like just so many things. Like, I've created these rituals, like, I just got this little pink or this little red like perfume bottle that I'm going to turn into a necklace so I can like wear my bleed. So excited. There's just like so many things. And I'm like, now you can integrate these ways. And like before I thought like, oh, that was only for like the most like spiritual, like you had to be like fully engaged in your practices. And now I'm like, what even is that? Like, You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. And that is spiritual, like allowing yourself to be free without limitation, to adapt and integrate whatever expression makes sense to you. Like, I've integrated so many different things, and I'm sure they'll evolve over time, especially with each season. And like, as seasoned wisdom comes to life, like I've started creating an Instagram page that is literally about me and this journey. So it's where I show up and discuss all the things that I'm creating containers for that I have challenges with right now, or the blessings that life is giving me, or, just the funny moments in between that make up life. Like, for example, sometimes I scream in a porta potty at work because I just need to get away from everyone and create space for myself. Like, just for me, it finally feels like there's that embodiment, that version of somebody who's like, hey, you can be in a domesticated world and still be feral, still have these intuitions and intentions and listen to yourself. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody else. It does not have to look a certain way. It can look however you want, because that's the beautiful thing about expression.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I think that's like, I don't know. I had goosebumps, so I feel like that's going to really activate and inspire a lot of women. And to hear that, like your transformation just from connecting with your womb and listening to her voice and letting her lead you started with an IUD because you never wanted to see your blood. And now you're like, I want to wear my fucking blood in this gorgeous ass vial around my neck. Like,
Right?
oh my God, that's huge. I want to paint my affirmations in my blood on my mirror. I'm, tracking my cycle through these gorgeous candles. Like, how poetic is that? I think it just goes to show the richness that becomes available to you as soon as you allow yourself to have that connection with your womb, as soon as you stop numbing and disconnecting because of the fear of pain, right? Whether that's, for some women it's like the physical cramping pain. For others there's that deep emotional pain, there's the trauma. And something that, we learn in Holy Body is to channel your pain into art, to create art from that pain. And it's like the tortured artist archetype. Like, be that archetype when you're bleeding and you're crying and you're messy. And like, oh man, the best poetry that I've written has come from deep heartbreak and pain and trauma and fear and like things that I thought I could not live through. That has been my best art. So, oh, I love all of that. All of that, Brody. Thank you so much. Oh my God. I fucking love this work. Like, it inspires and lights up every single cell inside of my body. And I'm just so grateful to be having this conversation with you and really hearing, more of your experience and story and transformation. To kind of end off this podcast. You said that in many moments you would, speak to your past self or your younger self or whatever version of yourself. What did that version of me need to hear? So I'm curious if you can speak to, the women who are sitting there that are like, oh, I feel like Holy Body is for me, but I'm scared or I'm this, I'm that, I don't know. I'm curious, like, what would you say to a woman who feels the pull of Holy Body? What would you say to her?
I would say that you're inevitably always going to be scared. Those fears are always going to be there. That is a natural part of being human. But the real truth is, if you want to listen to yourself, if you actually want to face your fears, and the best place to do that is to be held by a bunch of other women doing that exact same raw shit with you.
Yes,
Yes.
I'm clapping. I'm clapping on the screen. Yes, because the truth is, We don't need Holy Body, right? We can do this work on our own. But being held, being led and guided and held as you're doing this work is like it just expands you tenfold and really confirms that you're not alone in this. And like the moments where you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Is this crazy? Am I crazy? You have all these other women that are like, yeah, I feel the same way. Are we all crazy? Yeah, let's all be crazy. Like we own it, right? And we're in it together. So yeah, thank you. Truly, thank you so much. I'm so glad that I listened to this poll and vision of having you here because that was like I'm inspired. I'm like, can I join Holy
Oh
Body?
my gosh, thank you.
So yeah, just thank you so much. And I will put your Seasoned Wisdom Instagram account in the show notes so the women can find you and continue to follow along your journey because, this is just the beginning, right? And if you think
Yes.
about how much has shifted just in the beginning, who are you going to be in 5 years' time when you just live and breathe this stuff without even thinking about it? Like it's just so integrated in your being. What's your life going to look like? What kind of people are you going to have around you? What will your job be? Will it be the same? Will it be different? I'm so excited for your journey, Brody, and I am so grateful to have gotten to hold you and witness you walk this path. We started with a couple of one-on-one sessions, and just your energy is so magnetic and inspiring, and it is just such an honor to, have been able to activate you and witness the transformation that has come out of that activation. And I already know that you're just by being you and sharing your voice and sharing your story and, showing up in life the way that you do, you're going to create such big ripple effects in the women around you, and maybe more than just the women around you, maybe the men is around you as well. But you're really going to and already are creating those ripples, and I'm just really grateful to have been a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, for anyone who is feeling that pull to Holy Body, we begin. We have our first call on February 9th, 2025. And yeah, the links, everything you need to know, the links will be in the description. I'll place down there where you can find Brody and where you can find me. And yeah, I really look forward to seeing you in Holy Body. Thank you, Brody.
Thank you.